Welcome to the M3 Deadcast, where large black homosexual men discuss the show The Walking Dead.
So this is going to be the Walking Dead cast, or the M3 Dead cast, episode 3, where we will recap and give our highlights of season 5, episode 12, The Distance. So first, let's give a rating for this episode. I'm giving it a 9.7. I'm just going to say I like this episode. It had... you know, Rick looking completely haggard. I'm going to say that beard was huge. And sort of, you know, at one of their lowest points, I can, you know, how he was treating Aaron made sense and at the same time was pretty fucked up. And you also had your first man-on-man kiss. And all of them. Yeah, and all of The Walking Dead, so there you go. That was mine. What do you say?
Man, okay, before coming into the Deadcast and having like a day to think it over, as soon as the episode went off, I was like, okay, this is getting an 8, maybe 8.5. But the more I think about it, I'm going to have to give it a 9.5 because, yeah, you hit all the stuff right on the nail. However, I was really pissed off about the way Rick was treating Aaron, because I was like, dude, what did you expect was going to happen when you got to Washington, D.C.? You came across another group of people. Were you going to beat the shit out of them? You know what I'm saying? Or just take this stuff and just keep going. You know what I'm thinking? Like, I understand they went through all, like, every person they didn't come across, Woodsbury, Terminus, you know, all these other different places and stuff in between. I didn't throw the hospital in there. And, you know, and so it's just the fact that, you know, it's okay, I get it. You're not for the bullshit. However, this man's telling you all this stuff, and you're just gonna go ahead. And what's he to kill them? That's why they just anyway. But the saving grace of the episode was some of the stuff you listed, plus the whole cinematography of it. The edge of your seat. You know, that whole sequence with the late night walkers and them that. Was just insane, because I was like, you don't know what's going to happen now. You know what I'm saying? So they might be on a killing spree, you know, because if they introduce all these people in Alexandria, you probably thought they would probably have to, like, you know, trim some of the people down. You know, this is not a comic book. This is a TV show. So, but I have to say one thing about that whole sequence. I was so pissed off at Glenn. I'm like, I know this is a zombie apocalypse, but I'm pretty sure the goddamn windshield wipers are working. I'm like, come the fuck on. I was like, seriously. And so I guess he panicked, but I gave it 9.5, because, yeah, it's setting up so much amazing stuff from here on out. Yeah. And that's in just episode 3. We have, what, 5 episodes ago? Good Lord.
Yeah. So what do you think about the title, The Distance? What do you say?
That's a hard one. I say that because you can look at it so many different ways. You know, of course, literally there was a big distance for them to get from point A to point B. And then on a thematic level, you can look at it from a standpoint of they've come a long distance, they've traveled a long way to get to where they are right now. And, you know, they can be like on foot. And they've seen so much, they've experienced so much that, you know, it kind of makes them distant, or like serves a distance between everybody else they come across from here on out. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I can see it each way.
Do you remember any of this in the comic as well?
I don't remember the walker attack, but I do remember them. If I'm not mistaken, I do think Rick knocked the hell out of Aaron in the comic. I was going to ask you if you remember that, because I think I do remember that. But it was just the way it happened. It was just like, come on, Rick.
You didn't see that comic? Yeah, I pretty much remember that in the comic. That's why I was like a little surprised. Like, that was a, you know, they took a lot from the comic in this episode. I mean, at that point, he was pretty convinced that it was a setup. You know, they didn't even have the hospital in the comic, but it was enough that, you know, the governor was, you know, they didn't have Terminus either, for that matter. So they just were weary of people in general. And, you know, when Aaron came along, he was, you know, super skeptical. But I think one of the things I really liked about it, maybe like, you know, I like the fact that there are other people other than Rick. I mean, you know, when Rick went kind of crazy in season 3, you know, he's had his breaks. So it's not like that's outside of Rick's character to kind of go extreme.
No, it's not. It's just like for me last week, well, not last week, but during the mid-season premiere, him talking to Michonne about we need to stop. I remember Michonne was saying we need to stop this. We really need to. We need to just, you know, find somewhere to go. We need to find an end goal. You know what I'm saying? Because this is not right. And it just, he was like, yeah, we should go to Washington, D.C. But my thing was, okay, you knew you were going to go to Washington, D.C. If you'd have got there, if there had been some stronghold there, what would you have done? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, I get that you, number one, this is the only thing that I don't really fault Rick for, because he's protecting his children, number one, first and foremost. He's protecting his family, you know what I'm saying? Not just the, Carl and Judith, though, but the group. And so I understand it. But, I mean, if he had, let's say he had ended up killing Aaron or something like that, then Lord knows what type of Kane they could have brought on them. I mean, they're weak. They're defeated. You know what I'm saying? It was just a tactic. It's like, you know, you have to play your cards smart. Don't be so, I don't know. And somebody told me, Marge, I don't think you'll survive a zombie apocalypse. I think I actually would, but it's just the fact that I would not be as trustworthy, but I would not be as so black and white as well. Because, as Michonne pointed out, y'all let in a crazy woman with two katanas, or with a katana, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, y'all not really bad people, so.
But, yeah, that was interesting. Was, what did you get from, you know, beyond Rick's distrust, the explanation of Aaron trusting them? Because I thought it was going to be interesting, like, why Aaron would have trusted them in the first place, which was also in the comic, I think. But I have forgotten a lot of the details. Do you remember about that?
And actually, watching Talking Dead last night, it gave me a few insight into not only the question you just posed, but also the time frame of the show. Because they said that Aaron had been watching them for two to three weeks. So, I mean, that's the time.
What was the implications from that? Yeah, I was going to say, what things did he see in that time frame?
I mean, the fact that they knew, for instance, if he watched it for 2 to 3 weeks, then I wonder if he watched them, if he watched, Tyrese die. I was trying to figure out, you know, that had to happen. So he probably knew that, okay, they know how to get rid of, they don't know how to get rid of virus, but they know how to try to, like, stop the virus in case something happens. You know, Tyrese pretty much gave up. They know how to handle themselves in new areas. They know how to they know formation. They know they're a unit. You know what I'm saying? They're a tactical. Mm-hmm. They know tactical units type stuff, and they also are smart mentally, because they could easily, because anybody else would have been fight or flight. You know what I'm saying? When the whole herd was coming behind them. A small herd, and still, it probably took up all the, you know, the weapons and, like, the ammunition and stuff like that, but instead, they used their wits, their, you know, their skills to just say, we're just going to knock them, we're going to get to this bridge, we're going to knock them over the bridge, and we'll keep moving. And that means they're resourceful. And
yeah.
So, and also, I can think about it, when they did that, Aaron made his first move towards them by offering them the water.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I see you guys earn my trust, so here's some water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just, he just picked up on so much, and he probably realized that how just tight-knit they are. Like, they
yeah.
fight for the, they're not out there trying to harm anybody else, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, like, I guess nothing, he probably looked at like, okay, there's a baby, and there's a
mm-hmm.
young kid, and there's
yeah.
women. And none of the women are being, none of the women are, they're not, like, scared, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you might have, like, the claimers. I'm pretty sure if the claimers had had a woman in the group, she would have had not any type of respect or responsibility to anything going on. So he probably realized they're all equal. They're all equal units, and they're all equal in the group, which means that they respect each other. They're human. You know what I'm saying? Because and then the mercy killing Maggie did with the Walker in the trunk. You know what I'm saying? It was
mm-hmm.
just like, he's like, okay, these people, they have some type of humanity left. They have humanity left in them. I'm going to give them a chance.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can see that. And that was one of the things I thought about last week was, you know, he was saying, like, we want you to audition to be a part of our group and everything. And I suppose, you know, Aaron saw it. He brought them in. But I suppose next week they will still need some sort of audition or something like that, maybe for the other members of the group. I can't remember if they did any of that in the comic or not, but I was just thinking, you know, there's likely to be, you know, distrust on both sides. You know, because I think what Rick experienced with all these other people and, you know, he quite understood that. And the fact that, you know, they did the three questions on Aaron, and he was like, you know, I've killed two people. So it's not like, you know, they haven't gotten to the point where they had to kill people that they were going to bring in. So I think that might come up at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say also about the comic, you mentioned that, but I remember reading the comic and knowing that a lot of them – we're still uneasy. I think I remember Rick being kind of uneasy. I know
mm-hmm.
Carl had a hard time dealing with it because he was, I think there was a cover. There was a, there were two covers. I know one of them was that they were going to a party in the community
mm-hmm.
and Michonne was dressed in this dress and she had the katana still like on her, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Carl was, they had all the kids in the group, in the community going trick-or-treating, and Carl was like the lone person out looking like, you know, they're a part of the community, but they're still trying to adjust to after all the stuff they've been through.
Yeah, actually being
to, like,
safe.
Shake off, yes, being, feeling safe,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they always have been on guard. And
mm-hmm.
that's funny because Michonne mentioned, or rather, I can't pronounce her name, say my name, is it Danai Guerrera?
Mm-hmm.
She said that, and it made sense because I saw it too, but she even said it. Michonne, when the prison went down and Michonne went back into her pet mode, you know, and she declined all that and she went to go search for Rick and, you know, Carl. She made
mm-hmm.
a decision then, and that moment always stuck with me. She made a decision then to just, because what she had experienced is what Rick and her group, his group are now experiencing. You know what I'm saying? She has seen all that before she got to the prison. And she got tired of that. And they kind of brought a little bit of her humanity back. So she knew that they stayed. That's why she's so adamant about going to somewhere, some type of sanctuary, because if they don't, they're going to shut down. And they're not
mm-hmm.
anybody shutting down. That's why she was, last week we talked about how she was trying to get to Sasha. It's like, no, you don't need to do that, because if you do that, you become reckless. We don't need anybody reckless in here. So, yeah,
I can see that. And what do you feel about, I guess stepping up of Carl, not Carl, but of Glenn? I felt, because, you know, there was a moment toward the end where Glenn you know, I guess where Rick wanted to prevent Aaron and Eric from sleeping in the same area. And there was a moment where he said, you know, it kind of does matter, I guess, where they were having that conversation from the mid-season premiere, saying, like, mm-hmm. You know, that they have basically given up on their humanity in a little bit. And, you know, I think they were asking if it really mattered if they had, you know, taken someone out or not at Terminus, basically. You know, basically saying, like, you know, having, you know, a little shred of humanity is actually, you know, something worth having. Because that was, I think, part of what they were getting at was that, you know, Rick had come to distrust everyone who was outside their group. And I guess Carl and Michonne, not Carl, Glenn and Michonne were kind of bringing him back in a sense. And especially considering, like, that, you know, I guess he saw the, you know, saw the humanity between, between Aaron and Eric, saying, you know, like, they're trustworthy. I think everyone started to see it except for Rick. Like, he was so, you know, shut off in a way. But that, I guess people within his own group, because he trusted them, you know, he actually listened to what they had to say. And, I don't know, it's just kind of interesting that Glenn is coming to be that kind of character, which is dangerous to say.
Yeah.
For any character to be the voice of humanity in The Walking Dead is dangerous.
Just like, yeah. And they were trying to throw it on Michonne, like, you sound like the voice of reason. And it's funny because the now was like, don't start this shit, Chris. You say it like that. You always bring it up, and every time you bring it up, somebody ends up going home. And so, but I looked at it like this. I mean, you brought some great points. It just, I guess Glenn looked at it like, now, if the tables had been turned, and if somebody told me I couldn't sleep with my wife, oh hell no. You know what I'm saying? So it just, you know, I looked at it like he knew that he wants some type of stability, because there's no way in hell anybody's going to keep him from being with Maggie. After all the shit they've been through, so he's like, who are we to sit there and tell the man he can't sleep with his lover? You know, I mean, it's not they're going to sit there and double. They both can't take us. I mean, one man's ankle's broken. And it was just like, okay, Rick, you really need to calm down now. You know what I'm saying? This man could have easily sat there and because everything made sense to them once. Because, like, when Aaron got up and just ran out their car, he was a little worried that something happened to Pete. Well, not Pete, but Eric. And so he ran to his boyfriend. And so his lover, married a husband, they might be married. You never know. And so just the fact that he just saw, like, okay, I mean, nobody here has – I mean, what else can you – he didn't – let's say like this. They auditioned for Aaron, and in return, Aaron and Eric auditioned for them. It was a big audition process for both sides of the camps. You know what I'm saying? So they bought the trust, and it just came like, okay, y'all cool. We gonna roll now. So But I'm glad Glenn was the one, because me seeing Glenn shutting down, becoming very like emotionless. That bothers me. So when he saw the dude sitting there, we saw everybody get chumped about the zombie, and he almost walked away, and then he stopped. And I noticed that's not the first time he's done that in the series. I can't remember who else it was that Glenn was near or something like that. He stopped, and he went back. Oh, Tara. When he sat with Tara in the, after the prison stuff, he walked off and then he came back for her. You know what I'm saying? So it's not in his blood to be, you know, it's not in his soul. And I think he's looking at it from a standpoint of what would Herschel say? You know what I'm saying? Or what would Dale say? You know, because he looked up to them two men, and they were both moral accomplices of the group, and he was more along, I don't say he's on the fence, he's just like always that, you know, what would they do? What would they say if I did that? You know what I'm saying? You know, so.
Yeah, and I think he is kind of becoming that character again. That's what I was thinking. That he's becoming the moral compass, somewhat. Along with Michonne, for that matter. She's kind of doing that. But it was interesting, I guess Rick and Michonne, when they get to the gates, you know, I thought it was interesting. I think that was from the comic about the sounds they heard. You know, like when we came up on Woodbury, you know, what did you hear? You know, what did you hear? And I guess they said the same thing with Terminus, which was like, you didn't hear anything. You know, there was nothing. And I guess when they get to Alexandria, they hear children, like the sounds of children playing, and sort of a sign, or at least a good sign, that there really is, you know, an actual community there. You know, at least a positive sign. And then that moment, I guess, where Carol was like, you know, even though you were wrong, you were right. You know, saying like you were wrong in this specific instance, but you were right to be distrustful. Of course, you know, Carol being, you know, pretty cold-blooded at this point.
Yeah, Carol, like, so, yo. It was funny, cause I laughed at it, because it was like, even Carol was like, okay, Rick, you can tone it down a little bit.
But, you know, I take that to be that, you know, Carol is going to be one of those who is going to be hard to adjust. You know, she wanted to leave way back at the church, you know, and she did leave, actually. Mm. And I'm thinking, you know, she's going to be one of those that is going to be very uncomfortable at this community, and maybe for good reason. We'll see. So let's just get right into what you might think is going to happen. What do you foresee happening in the next few episodes?
I think that I'm shocked, to be honest with you, Malcolm, because I did not think we were going to get that. We said last week, I did not think we would get to Alexandria this damn soon. I think that what's going to end up happening is they're going to have a hard time adjusting. Like, the clips they show were very misleading, because it showed as if, like, first of all, you didn't see any kids. Even though you heard kids at the end of the episode, you didn't see any interaction with anybody else besides Aaron and Eric. So you saw Carl walk through the house, and everybody's looking all scared and everything. It's just them being on their guard, kind of like they're going to they're playing about a comic now. So-called spoiler alert. They're playing about a comic, because it took them a minute to get adjusted to Alexandria.
Yeah.
Let their guard down just a little bit. And I think they're going to – it's going to be pretty intense, because we got to meet – I forget the mayor's name. You know, and here's the thing. I wonder if Rick is going to shave that beard, because, I mean, it should be a cast member now by itself, you know. So, because I remember the comic book, he shaved his beard, and everybody was clean. Everybody, so, and I'm going to have the fans are going to take that, you know, like, they're all clean.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. I'm just, by them being in Alexandria right now, I'm just excited that they're there, and I just pray that, I mean, 5 episodes left. I just hope they don't do, spoiler alert for anybody that's not read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I pray they don't do No Way Out as a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I pray they don't do us like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean,
that's all I get right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, one of the things, I guess, when I think about what happened in the, you know, so far, I'm thinking that there'll probably be, you know, there'll definitely be a separation between Rick's group and Alexandria. And I know that, like you were saying, from the clips they showed, you know, a slight hesitation for them getting adjusted, and just seeing that their survival, you know, heightened sense of awareness and, you know, sort of like war veterans, you know, PTSD type reactions.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that being an issue. And they, you know, for the moment are truly safe, but of course, by the end of the season, you're right, they're going to be, they're going to discover that it's not safe, because, you know, safe is boring. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, one of the things I think The Walking Dead always does is, you know, both the show and the comic has always highlighted a certain aspect of humanity by taking it away, I suppose. You know, so you'll see the contrast between those people who are comfortable and safe versus those who have lived in danger for most of the past couple of years. So, I mean, that'll be interesting.
Hey, I'm glad you said that, because that's a good contrast, because it kind of, I wonder if they don't have another Woodsbury incident where none of those people were, everybody who was not on part of the governor's staff, they had no way of protecting themselves. So,
yeah.
If it came, because they were just so, everything's okay. They got, they're taking care of it. And like you said, safe is boring, but safe is also reckless. And if you got all these people who are not trained in, you know, defending themselves, that, you know, I think that's another reason why Aaron was so adamant for them to come with him. Yo, we don't know none. We've been behind these walls for, you know, so long, and they probably go out on runs, though, but they probably don't get a chance to get anything for the runs. Or they probably get enough, but they probably go at certain times so they won't get trapped by, you know, not even a herd of walkers, but, like, probably at most 10. You know, Rick and his group cleared out a whole prison full of walkers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just they know how to handle themselves without wasting ammunition. And they could probably teach everybody. And I think that's what Alexander's going to need. I'm just praying that it's not because another spoiler, I'm going to leave it alone after this, but another spoiler for the comic books, there's a compare and contrast, like, the people of Alexandria and the people of Woodsbury. I say there was a, in terms of, like, knowing how to handle themselves, there were a few, there were, like, more people in Alexandria knew how to handle themselves more than Woodsbury did, because there was only a few people who knew what was the true, what was truly going on behind Woodsbury's curtains. Everybody in Alexandria knows, and I could be wrong, everybody in Alexandria knows what's going on, and it's just they've been behind these walls for so long, but it just, like you, like they say, if you get behind something so long, you let your guard down. You know, so like the prison and all this stuff. So I just think that it's going to probably be a big cluster fuck when the herd does show up. But if the herd shows up, I don't know what the fuck will happen. But and I'm, other than that prediction, I'm just going to leave it alone. I will say, this is what I'm okay with seeing. For a season finale cliffhanger is the herd approaching the walls. That's all I could see. I would like them to end it that way, but I'm just, that's 5 episodes from now, so.
Who knows? Yeah, because they might switch it up, and I think, you know, obviously they've already changed it up since, you know, there's no Judith, there's no Daryl, you know, Carol and Andrea are not the same character, and, you know, there's going to be some differences, but I like the fact that there are similarities, too, so we'll see. I think we should.
Thanks for listening to the M3 Deadcast, and I'd also like to thank my co-host, Mark Estes, for joining me on the phone. You can learn more about Mail Media Mind by visiting mailmediamind.com, where you'll find other podcasts, including a review of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, as well as M3 Bearcast, in which we discuss many issues facing the Black Bear community. We're also on many social networks, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, Google, We have plenty of YouTube videos and articles on our blog as well. That is mailmediamind.com. Thanks for watching again, and please join us next week where we'll discuss the next episode of The Walking Dead.